Verse 8. Therefore, the neighbors and those who had previously seen that he was born blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He's like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore, they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay, and he anointed my eyes, and he said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought him, who formerly was blind, to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who was a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him, because he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews, meaning the rulers, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight, and they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we don't know. And who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." And they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" I love that. I can't wait to meet this guy in heaven. Yeah. I love this guy. Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing, that you don't know where he's from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us?" And they cast them out. I think somebody forgot to go to the church growth seminar that year, you know? "You were healed? Get out of here. Ushers, escort this man from the premises." Praise God. In this passage today, we see this man who had an encounter with God through Jesus Christ. And we see three distinct reactions to it. His neighbors were bewildered. His parents were worried. And the Pharisees were on the warpath. Let's take these things one at a time and just kind of check that out and see how that applies to our lives and our neighbors and our parents and our leaders today. First of all, his neighbors were bewildered. Let me see if I can give you a little something to illustrate this. What? Imagine for a moment, Mark, I'm glad you're delighted with this. Imagine for a moment that Stevie Wonder is your neighbor. Okay, it's a stretch, but hey, maybe you hit the lottery or maybe his record sales went down, I don't know. But imagine Stevie Wonder is your neighbor, okay? And it's a glorious spring day, the birds are singing, the sun is shining, the sky is that famous Eastern Shore blue over in Los Angeles somewhere. And you're out there on the front lawn just kind of sipping a nice tea, just checking it all out, taking it all in, enjoying this day. And suddenly your neighbor, Stevie Wonder, comes bounding out of the house, goes down the driveway, and jumps in the car. But this time, yeah, he doesn't get in the back seat where he normally gets in, where the limousine driver drives him around. This time he comes out and he jumps into the driver's seat. And he starts up the engine, throws it in reverse, backs out of the driveway, and then goes driving down the road. Never hits a mailbox, never hits a parked car, just takes off driving down the road. Wow. So you finish your iced tea, you go about your business, and you're outside again. And about 3 hours later, here comes Stevie Wonder driving down the road again. You know, puts on his turn signal, waits for cars to go by, then pulls into the driveway perfectly, and then with precision, he parallel parks his car between the other two cars, the Mercedes and the Lexus, just parallel parks with precision precisely between the bumpers of those other two cars, never once scratches or hits or dents anything. And he gets out of the car, and he's just kind of rubbing it and checking it for dust, you know, just kind of wiping it off a little bit. And you're sitting there in absolute amazement. You can't believe it. You're like, man, how could this guy drive for 3 hours with gas prices the way they are? It's amazing. And then another thought hits you. Whoa, wait a minute. He's Stevie Wonder. He can afford gas. He can afford to drive for 3 hours. So you're like, okay, well, whatever. And you just start to go back in your house. And suddenly your neighbor comes running over and says, dude, man, did you see that? That's incredible. And you're like, he's Stevie Wonder. He can afford to drive for 3 hours. And I'm like, no, dude. He's blind. And you're like, whoa, you're right. Son of a gun. And so you start whispering back and forth, that's not Stevie Wonder. He just looks like Stevie Wonder. You know, he's got the dreadlocks, all right, you know. But it's not really him. And your neighbor's like, no, dude, I heard him singing when he was walking around the car. It's Stevie, man, it's him. How would you react in that situation? You might be a little bewildered. Wow. How could he parallel park so easily? I always have trouble with that, man. But it's him, you know? And so you're debating back and forth, and that can't be him. He's just like, you know, he must be like a body double or something. He can afford that stuff. He's probably going to be in a movie. This is his body double that's come to kind of, you know, get the personality on, get all the things down pat, and kind of just get in the groove with him. And your neighbor's like, no, it's really him. And all of a sudden, Stevie Wonder comes over and says, hey, it's me. Yeah. This is kind of like where those guys were. They saw this guy who was a beggar. They probably even contributed to him. They knew this guy. They saw him every day. He'd been blind from birth. And here he was just walking around, carrying on, doing things that only a person who could see could do. And they're like, whoa, dude, is that you know, the bigger dude? And they're like, can't be him. And so they were bewildered. And some people were like, it's got to to be him. And the other was like, it can't be him. And they just didn't know how to react. And maybe some of you might remember when you got saved that people didn't know how to react to you. And there was a big change in your life. And they're like, is that John? Man, aliens must have captured him and put a clone down here, man. Because that's, I remember the one of the guys that witnessed to me right before I got saved was the drug dealer in our neighborhood. And I went over there to, you know, just visit. And he wasn't there. He had gone to church. You know, his buddy was there and said, this guy's gone off the deep end. He's crazy. I don't know what's happened. He was bewildered. And the guy came home. And he had on a white shirt, and his hair was cut all nice and short and trim and everything. And he got down on his knees in the middle of the floor, and he began thanking Jesus for saving him. I was like, this can't be the same guy. I didn't know what to think. I just sat there in a stupor just looking at this guy, tears running down his cheeks. And the other guys were just making fun of him, you know, saying, you stupid idiot, you know, you'll get over this and all this kind of stuff. I don't know what happened to you. I don't know how people responded to you. Maybe they were just kind of watching you from a distance. They didn't know how to react, so they were just, you know, whispering about you. But what do you do in that situation? Well, what did this guy do in that situation? He walks up to him and says, guess what? It's me. Yep, I'm the dude. I was blind. Guess what? Now I see. He was bold. He didn't just hide in the background and say, well, you know, I kind of got to say, well, you know, he healed me and, you know, I can see. But, you know, hey, how about them Orioles? They didn't even have the Orioles back then. He was bold. He just said, yeah, man, I was blind. Guess what? Now I see. They didn't even know how to handle that. But rather than hide, he was just up front. He went and he testified about what God had done for him. That's what faith does. It sees an opportunity and it seizes the day. It takes the initiative and it goes out to give the glory to God. That's what we're here for, so that God can be glorified through us. And so he saw that opportunity and he was bold. He went right up and said, yep, it's me. I once was blind, now I see. Praise God, man. And you know what? He didn't have all the answers either.